The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Listening to the newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-host for this one is going to be Terry Cushman at Cushman MLB. If you'd like more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. Terry, I feel like I talk to you almost every day now. I feel it's like a daily thing. The Red Sox end up losing the second game of this quick two-game set. Obviously, the second game rained out. They lose 6-1 with a blowout eighth inning behind Justin Slayton, just completely unraveling. Terry, anything you want to start us off with?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody in their right mind would have picked the Red Sox to win on a Cam Schlittler start, but he wasn't terrible today, but he wasn't efficient. Players weren't chasing out of the zone. He went eight innings in his previous two starts against us, only lasts, 5 1/3, 5 2/3, something like that. And, that's an opportunity to pull an upset against Cam Schlittler if you can get him out of the game. And, the bats couldn't do it. And like the title to the show says, Justin Slayton just completely lost his mind. Got quick strikeouts of Paul Goldschmidt, Ben Rice, two very dangerous hitters. And then Bellinger gets him, and Yankees went to town.
It's crazy when you think about it with Cam Schlittler there. He's allowed, like, a bad performance for Schlittler is 2 or 3 runs allowed. That's a bad performance for Schlittler. Now, the anomaly one was, of course, his last performance with Cleveland. He allowed 4 runs, only 5 runs, 4 earned in 4 1/3, and he did take the L in that one. So it's the first time he's had back-to-back games where he really hasn't just gotten it done. And throughout the year, if you are actually keeping tabs, the longest stretch that he has gone without, you know, a win followed by another win is only a couple games, whereas Red Sox starters, they may go, outside of Sonny Gray, they may go 4 or 5 starts without a win. Maybe they get another one because they just don't have the run support. Schlittler is absolutely shoving. He's expected to win the AL Cy Young. The guy is expected to win every single game now, and you'd be foolish to pick against him. It feels like an automatic L if you face Cam. And while we lost the game, it was disappointing in how we lost the game because there were moments where we didn't necessarily look completely defeated, but as soon as the eighth inning came, game over. You give up a couple home runs. Cody Bellinger goes yard. Jazz Chisholm, probably one of the more hated, polarizing players in baseball, who sometimes opens his mouth and you feel like you're genius yourself because he doesn't know the rules of the game. And when he does that, I mean, he's still a couple of home runs away from 50-50, but, you know, Jazz is on his way. You know, eventually he'll get to 50-50. It might take a couple seasons before he does it, but he'll get to 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases. Just a brutal, brutal way to lose. And it, just a tough game. No hits early on. Brutal offense. What else can you say?
Before we get to the bullpen, I just want to make an observation here. We're excited about Connelly early and Peyton Tolley. I mean, it's been a while since we've developed some guys. And, we've just seen kind of a failure of a guy we thought we were developing, Brian Bayo, getting optioned in his fifth or sixth season down to the minors. But then you see Cam Schlittler, and as excited as we are about Tolley and Early, they aren't him. They are not as polished and as dominant and ready to, you know, transition a possible Hall of Fame career. I mean, if Cam Schlittler stays healthy, he's going to be a career Yankee. You know, I think Gerrit Cole will always be remembered as a Yankee. I think people have already kind of forgotten his Pirates days. His, you know, 2018, 2019 deep playoff runs with the Astros. Perhaps some people remember that, but they'll remember Gerrit Cole as mostly a Yankee. I look at Roger Clemens as a Yankee. I don't know how you look at him, but Cam Schlittler is going to be Mr. Yankee for his entire career. And that sucks. That sucks. I think this podcast will be around, you know, a decade from now and longer. We'll be talking about Cam Schlittler way, way in the future. And he's just so good. And I think Early and Tolley are going to get there. They're going to be successful major leaguers. But, man, they are nowhere near as polished and as dominant as Cam Schlittler.
Yeah. You know, when you think back on it, he wasn't a first-round pick. He was drafted in the seventh round. The Red Sox passed on him several times. Hometown kid, you passed on him seven times. You just didn't take him. And the guy who you got directly before Cam Schlittler is not even on your team anymore. You traded him for a catcher to Seattle. And I remember looking that up. Alex something. I can't remember his last name. But he is irrelevant. Doesn't play for Boston anymore. I don't think he's ever done anything. So whatever. I'm pretty sure he was a catcher. And this could have just been what a great way to try to find like some silver lining in a rather crappy situation for the Boston Red Sox. We can't get anything right. You can't even draft right. You're drafting players and then trading them for whatever. It's just, it's tough. Honestly, if I was Cam Schlittler, I would have picked the number 32 because 32 teams passed on you six times, just as like an FU to the other teams. And that's not like a nod to Schilling or anything like that. Couldn't care less about him. I think he was number 32 for us, if I'm not mistaken. And it's just, you know, every single time he comes out, it's just, damn it. That's the only word that sums it up when he pitches against us. And it's been like that since the very first time he faced us. And that was against Conley early. And round one went to Schlittler with a defining knockout. And there's going to be a lot more games where he wins. We're not going to defeat Schlittler the way that we defeat other pitchers. He just has a little bit extra when he faces the Boston Red Sox. And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you have a little bit extra for the team that passed up on you not once, not twice, not three times? You got drafted in the seventh round, my guy. Absolutely would be shoving against your hometown team. So, yeah, it's going to suck for a decade, like you said, probably more.
I think it will. And I mean, yeah. And he's got, I don't think it matters. I think he's so good. He would shove in just about any organization, but the culture and stability of that Yankees roster just makes it a lot more easier for him to go out there and do his thing versus, you know, some of the younger guys that we have. And I think they're doing a good job. Don't get me wrong. You know, with Peyton Tolley, this might not be a popular take, but we'll be losing. And, you know, he'll be in the dugout just kind of goofing around being Peyton Tolley. And everyone's like, oh, isn't that adorable? He's so awesome. And I'm like, you know, I wish, you know, Chris Sale was a maniac when he was starting.
I miss that.
You don't really talk to do. Chris Sale. I guess Rick Porcello was similar. He didn't like anyone talking to him on the days of his start. So I don't know. Maybe it's just a different world now, but
I personally don't want to put Rick Porcello in the same conversation as Chris Sale. Rick Porcello was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Jackass, for lack of a better term. Like there were some years that he would shove and then the following year he'd forget that he was a pitcher. It was so brutal to watch him pitch. And then, I mean, Rick Porcello is going to be remembered for winning the Cy Young against possibly, you know, someone who should have won it, but it was his partner that became infamous for his comments about Justin Verlander not winning the Cy Young that year. That really just was career defining. It was just absolutely wild. But the other thing I want to talk about is Ranger Suarez. Ranger Suarez ends up going against Schlittler. The guy has done very, very well against a lot of teams this year, he has now gone over a month without getting a win because we don't get him run support. He was 0-1 in the month of May. 0-1. That's crazy when you think about it. I had to look back at it. How bad did he do in the month of May? He had a clunker performance, but he still went the first three games that he pitched in May. The guy absolutely posted 13 and two-thirds innings, 11 hits, only one run, no win, nothing. We just couldn't do it for him. That is going to be another one of the just frustrating stories of the Boston Red Sox when our pitchers go. You don't get run support. How gutting is it for Ranger Suarez, who's 2-3 with a 3.18 ERA? He's got 63 punchouts, a 1.14 whip, and I'm not sure if that's with the numbers updated. I'm pretty sure it is.
It is.
It's frustrating, man. Like an ERA just north of 3, there are some pitchers with an ERA like north of 4, and they've got a winning record. They've got 4 or 5 wins, which is mental. We can't do anything for Ranger Suarez. It's so frustrating. And Ranger Suarez might finish with less than 10 wins because we can't score runs for him. He'll probably also finish with a sub-3 ERA. That's the embarrassing part.
Two observations, and I was thinking about these during the game today, watching him pitch. Number one, does he regret signing here? You know, like, this is such a clown show. He's got four more years left. Well, but then my second observation was he didn't really have a market. And why not? Why not? Were there health concerns? Because, I mean, he does typically spend, you know, 3 or 4 weeks a year on the injured list. I think he did miss 2 or 3 weeks. No, actually, he didn't. No, he did not go on the injured list with his hamstring. I think they just skipped a start and had some off days in there to kind of space it out. But who wouldn't want Ranger Suarez? Like, that was the easiest 5-year commitment you could have made to a pitcher last offseason. And it took all the way to what, mid to late January?
I'll say this much. Do I think he regrets signing here? No, because he got 130 million reasons to be happy about it, right? 130 million reasons to be happy about the money that he's about to get over the course of 5 years. Fully guaranteed you're making all that money. Do I think if there was another team that offered him 5-130 or 5-125, 5-120, he would have taken it? I absolutely do. I really do. Because this isn't a destination market. He came here because no one else, to your point, offered him that kind of contract. He might have gotten 2, maybe 3 years. And it probably would have been like 60, 75 million, something, you know, decent, but nothing that really locks you in. 5 years, 130, that's job security. That's money security. You're set for life, man. You've made over $100 million. You're good. And if you move to like Florida or Texas or one of those states where there's like, I think Texas has no income tax, but I know Florida doesn't have income tax. I don't think Texas does either. Right. You move over there, you give yourself a nice fat bonus. You don't have to pay that. So I don't know. I don't think he truly regrets it because he was chasing the money. I think, honestly, Ranger Suarez is totally cool not winning a World Series for the next 5 years because, in you know, who knows? Year 4, he might get moved to a team that actually is going to go for a World Series. That might be one of the contracts that the Red Sox are able to offload. It won't be pretty. We won't get, like, pretty prospects back. But if he shoves and posts for 3 years, absolutely there's going to be a team that's willing to take him on for year 4 plus 5. Why not? The Boston Red Sox would probably get rid of that contract in a heartbeat. Because they're the Boston Red Sox. They're trying to get it to $50 million. They're doing everything they can to pay as little money as possible. Quest for the lowest money spent all time. That's what they're doing. It's just pathetic.
I'll tell you what. If they trade him, I'll be pissed.
I'll be
pissed. Same. Because you finally win on a free agent pitcher. You finally get a guy. He had a great resume, and then he came to Boston and just continued what he was doing all along. And if you're Ranger, I mean, the reason I asked this question is he just went to the postseason for 4 or 5 straight years with the Phillies with an absolute wagon. He would strike out a side, and he knows that Schwarber and Harper are coming up in the next inning and probably will get him some run security. You know, if he strikes out the side today, he's got Monasterio, he's got Durbin, and IKF coming up, or in Yoshida. So it's just, it's just not as fun. It's not the same wagon.
No, but I mean, here's the thing too. You have him and Garrett Crochet. You have two of the best left-handed pitchers right now, and you might squander both of their better years because you have put a little to crap shoot team on the field. Like there's a really good chance that both of them combined win 22 to 24 wins this year. There's a good chance that they get 24 maybe, because right. You can't win games. You can't score runs. And Garrett Crochet, who knows how long he'll be out. He might be lucky to get 7 wins this year at this point. Who knows? If they don't shut him down for the year, if it gets really, really bad, and then you're starting to huff 90 losses or more. And honestly, there are some people out there, if you read the comments, they're hoping this team loses 100. They really hope this team loses 100 games.
I mean, they absolutely can. We're going to talk about some stuff later on. But who do you trust more in terms of durability at this point? Ranger Suarez or Garrett Crochet?
Durability? That's tough because Ranger Suarez has been in the league a lot longer. He's always missed a little chunk of time. But Garrett Crochet has missed seasons. So from a longevity standpoint and ability to stay on the field, also including all sample size, because it is fluffed for Garrett Crochet, you have to go with Ranger Suarez. You have to, because you know you're getting between 22 to 26 starts in that scope realm. Crochet, you might get 10 or you might get 32, and you might get the best pitcher of the year numbers or someone who you're always going to wonder what he would have done if he was actually here all year. Garrett Crochet, I'm not wondering because we already know what he's done. He's also gotten absolutely shelled, had the worst career performance ever. Like that's not going to get topped. That, I think it was what, 11 earned runs, right? Wasn't it that bad when he came in and just they didn't take him out because he just, I mean, they were making hard contact on every single pitch. There was no mistakes, no misses. It was like he was telegraphing it. Here comes a curveball. Here comes a fastball. It would have had the same effect if you told them what was coming. They were hitting literally everything under the sun. So Ranger Suarez had a couple of blips at the beginning of the year and then has absolutely calmed the heck down. So yeah, Ranger Suarez has to be your guy. If you go against Ranger Suarez from a longevity standpoint, I don't think you're paying attention.
I think so. I mean, he made his debut in 2018. Wasn't a good one. Was a brief one, though. So only 4 games, I guess. So let's just not count that. 2019, 3.14 ERA. Only pitched out of the bullpen. 37 appearances, started 0 games. 2020 was terrible. No starts, though. Actually, only 3 games. So I'm not sure what happened there. 2021, he finally starts, only makes 12 of them out of his 39 appearances, has a 1.36 ERA, and then 2022 forward, he's been strictly a starter, and he's had 22 or more starts in the 4 years from 2022 leading into this season. One of them was 29, another was 27. He hasn't missed large chunks of a season like Garrett Crochet has. And right. He's a bit older. Suarez is scrolling up here. He will be 31 in August. I think Garrett Crochet is about 28 and just has a worse record of durability. That's concerning. And Crochet, by the way, is on the 60-day IL. I think we did cover that in the last episode, but that's crazy. I mean, if you told yourself coming into this season that he would do a 60-day IL stint, that's concerning. And, you know, I don't regret the signing him. I think it was, what, a 5 or 6 year deal, something like that, with options. So I'm not going to regret.
For Ranger Suarez or Crochet?
Crochet.
Crochet. Suarez, I think, was 5-1, so his was 5.30. I think there was an option year. Crochet, wasn't it 6 years? Like one, was it 6-150? I can't remember, but there was definitely
170, and I think there's an opt out somewhere in there, deep into
6-170. You're right. Yeah. Here's the other thing about Crochet too, right? Crochet, when he became a full time starter last year, right? Or 2 years ago, excuse me, for the Chicago White Sox. That was his second year as a starter. He had already missed almost two full seasons with Tommy John. Didn't even play in 2022. He missed the entire year. And then plus recovery time. There is no question mark about longevity here and who you can trust here, because you're right. You've got someone who's had two full campaigns, and then the other one who's started 100-some-odd starts and hasn't come in relief for any purpose. He's also had winning records in three of those four campaigns before this year as a member of the Philadelphia Phillies. So you're going to get someone who's going to chew innings. Garrett Crochet is also he's a big guy. He's like 6'6", 250. Ranger Suarez is like 6'1", 220, 215, something like that. So you got a 40, 50-pound difference. You also have a lot of ground and pound. This guy throws 100 miles an hour. Ranger Suarez is not going to blow you away with 100 miles an hour. He's going to dominate you with off-speed, precision, movement, and just control. Garrett Crochet can have the control. It's not a lock, but he's going to blow you away with velocity. And if you're using velocity as your method and your, I don't want to say only method, but primary method, it's going to cause a lot more strain, a lot more wear and tear on the arm. And there's no questions there.
Yeah. You know, it's like the totally early comparison that people have said in the chat stream here on YouTube, early as a pitcher, totally as a thrower. And I think the same could be said between Ranger and Crochet.
I think that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's a fair comment.
And so it's just interesting, but I was pleasantly surprised when we got Suarez, and he's just, I feel good every time we go out. I'm like, he's going to give us a chance. In May, the offense kind of stiffed him. So, and they had their opportunities today. They had runners in scoring position a couple of times. Yankees had the bases loaded one inning. I think they did most of that damage with two outs, and then Suarez got a pop up there to avoid any runs. But yeah. And then, so with the bullpen today, this was the first game where Garrett Whitlock was on the injured list, where it kind of cost us.
Right.
That was his spot in the eighth inning that Slayton pitched. And Slayton, he struck out the first two guys. I'm like, okay, all right, here we go. If people are looking to grow the Justin Slayton hype train, today could be a big part of that in Yankee Stadium. But Cody Bellinger, former MVP, seasoned guy, probably severely undervalued the last few off seasons, got him. And as soon as that happened, I'm like, that's game. We're not gonna come up with a run here in two innings. I just don't see that. And then not only was that game, four more runs got tacked on. Yeah. Actually, three more. It was a two-run shot. My bad. It was a solo. My bad.
Solo was the first one. Jazz hit a three-run shot. I actually want to shift over to the closer. And this is one of the only bright spots for the Boston Red Sox, and that's Aroldis Chapman. Just imagine if Aroldis Chapman just started his career now and he's 22 years old and he's got sub-zero ERAs. Damn. Because there are two names if you are on the market and you're looking for gold, right? If you are on the Christmas wish list looking for a starting pitcher, there's one name that comes to mind, Streak Skubal. There's no question. Streak Skubal. If you're looking for a closer or an eighth inning guy, because let's face it, at this point, he's been abused all, last, I don't know how many years, six, 7 years. There's one person on that list, and that's Aroldis Chapman. It can't be anybody else. You have the hottest closer potentially on the move. I'm curious to know how long the Red Sox wait before they end up trading Aroldis Chapman, because I don't think he's going to stay here. There's absolutely no point to him staying. I want him to stay because the guy is just locked down. He just doesn't allow runs. He strikes people out. He just is a different pitcher from when he was, 10, 12 years ago. What do you think the asking price will be from the Boston Red Sox for trading Aroldis Chapman? What do you think they're going to be able to net by trading? Not if, when they trade Aroldis Chapman?
Go back to 2016. Gleyber Torres, Clint Frazier was a high-end prospect. It didn't work out, and I wonder if that was the wrong organization for him. We'll never know. He's not in baseball anymore. But they got a pretty good package for Chapman, and you can say, well, he was much younger back then. True, but he was also just a rental. And that's all he is this year. He does have a vesting option. If it vests, well, good luck. 2027. Let's see how many closers notch saves during the strike. So it's the same thing to me. And you look at his ERA right now, 0.46. So even at 38 years old, you are trading for the second best closer of this century. So you better get a haul.
Do you think it's going to net either the top or the second prospect that a team has? And tell you what, I'll even throw in the cookie. What position would you ask back? What are you prioritizing? Are you prioritizing starting pitching? Are you prioritizing outfielders? Are you prioritizing a catcher? Are you prioritizing infielders? What does Terry want the Red Sox to get?
I'd love to have a, not necessarily a stud infielder, but maybe a cornerstone infielder. But here's the problem with that. What team's going to give that up if you're trying to get Chapman? You're trying to compete. You're not trying to weaken yourself. So it's going to be a prospect-laden package. And I don't know if it's their top prospect necessarily. Maybe it's their top infield prospect. Maybe it's their top left side of the infield prospect. Perhaps it's their first or second pitching prospect. I mean, I feel okay about our pitching right now. So it better be a haul. And we've said this quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. It better not be Craig Breslow making the deal. John Henry was in Yankee Stadium today. He was in one of the suites, and, you know, I don't know how to read into that, but he was there. He made the trip to New York. He had a young kid. I'm assuming that was a grandson or something, some family member. And so I don't know, but I don't want Craig Breslow screwing up the future of the Boston Red Sox more than it already is.
Thank you.
When it's the most inevitable firing of all time.
Yeah, the writing's on the wall, Craig. I mean, it's plastered. If at this point you don't hear it with a goddamn megaphone, I really don't know what to tell you. In fact, not only do I not know what to tell you, I don't care to tell you, because I don't care about you, just like you don't care about this job. You don't care about this team. I would want a King's ransom. I would want more than just a Gleyber Torres, they got a couple, I think it was Will Warren, Gleyber Torres, another prospect. I don't know where the other guys are. Gleyber Torres is whatever. He's still in the game, which is crazy. And so is Aroldis Chapman, obviously. It's wild to think about it, you know, 10 years later. Yankees fans want to take credit for developing Gleyber Torres. Sorry, guys. He was in Chicago. Let's cool calm our jets here. If he is on the move, when he is on the move, I want minimum two of your top five guys. I want an infielder and I want a right-handed hitter. I don't know if I'm too, it must be this position, but I want someone that projects to have 25, 30 home run minimum power. I want a right-handed power bat. We don't have it. We haven't had it and we need it. And the last time I really feel like we had a crazy right-handed power bat, you could say JD Martinez if you want, but really when I think of like power, this is the one guy in the lineup I don't want to pitch to. I'm thinking like Manny Ramirez, like early 2000s. I want somebody like that of the future. I don't know how you're going to figure that out. There are players. I mean, the amount of work and development and video that we have on players now, it's insane compared to where we were 5 years ago. And every year it's exponentially more and more and more, right? Ryan saying that Gleyber Torres is a starting second baseman. Yes, he's hitting, he's got three homers, 14, 15 RBIs, and 270, something like that. So, yeah, he's still in the league, but he's not scaring anybody, right? Gleyber Torres doesn't come to the plate and you're like, oh, I got to walk this guy. Aroldis Chapman is still that guy, like, please don't throw me 101 or 100. He can still do it 10 years later, which is nuts. I would want minimum two of your top five guys. Like you mentioned, star-studded package. Do I think we're going to get four or five names for it? No. But I would rather prioritize two top fives, maybe someone just outside your top 10, and maybe someone in your top 25. And you get four of those. Two of them have to be, I'd prefer them to all be right-handed hitters. One of them has to be a power bat. Great if you can get a corner infielder. I'd love to get a third baseman that can play third, that can field the ball. I don't think I want a shortstop. We have plenty of those, and we have one coming up. And in a couple of years, I think we'll become the starter for the Boston Red Sox. I think I do want to have one of them be an outfielder, because at that point, Yoshida is going to be gone. I don't know what's going to happen with Abreu and Duran in a couple of years. I don't know what's going to happen with Seydon Rafaela. There's rumors that he could be part of a package in some capacity. I want a lot, though. I want a lot. I don't want it to just be, yeah, give me your three, and then we'll call it a deal. You do that, you failed twice. One for not getting enough, and two for only getting the number three. You know, there are some great catching prospects out there that have the ability to absolutely crush it. I don't know what the you know, outside looking in hopeful, like, top catching prospect. I remember the Padres had Ethan Salas. I don't know where he ranks on the catching prospect list right now in the minors, AA, AAA. It'd be awesome to get a catcher of the future and a third baseman of the future. It'd be awesome to get a center fielder of the future. I want a lot for that. And Garrett Whitlock, if he's gone too, it wouldn't surprise me if he's also on the list of people to go. I'd also want something special for that guy as well. You are muted, my friend.
My bad. I honestly, I'd be hesitant to trade Whitlock if I'm trading Chapman, just because now you're looking at a full rebuild to the bullpen. And it's just a crapshoot. If you want to do it through free agency, it's kind of a crapshoot. You know, is the guy cooked? Can he pitch in Boston? You already have that with Whitlock. And unless you're going to get a similar package to Chapman, I just probably hang on to him and he'll be the closer. You are getting Tanner Houck back. I think for a while I really wanted him to be a starter. And I think I was probably a little too patient compared to everyone else with that, but he could come back and be a dominant bullpen guy. Maybe. You never know how they'll rebound from Tommy John. But so you have him kind of in your back pocket, but I'd probably hang on to him, Whitlock, and, you know, Duran could be traded. He's kind of cooled off, so perhaps the value is dropping again. I don't know if I'd trade Willie or Abreu, to be honest. I think a lot of people would say anybody's on the table, but he's just so valuable in a lot of different ways. One guy, I'm wondering if teams will call up and ask for Rafaela.
I think so. Why not? I mean, he's got a pretty nice contract, and it'd be the most, again, I've used this expression quite a bit, but it'd be just the most Boston Red Sox thing ever to just have him absolutely just stop swinging at crap pitches. He becomes a 2075 guy with 30 stolen bases, hits close to 300, plays stellar defense, and wins another gold glove. Is the reason why the Red Sox lose at least one game when he faces against us, you know, faces us. It would suck, but God, it'd be another person. Like, you're giving these players big contracts and you're then moving them after you've given them the contracts. You know, like, we have a rather hefty Worcester right now with contracts that exceed 50, 60 million. You've got over $120 million on the books, and it's only in a couple of players, which is crazy. So Christian Campbell contract, I don't know how badly that one's going to age, but already it's looking pretty bad. It's looking very, very bad. And at the end of it, I don't know which one's going to be worse, that one or Rosny Castillo's. I don't know. I really don't. Because if Christian Campbell never sees the light of day again and he's hiding under a rock, brutal. Absolutely brutal.
I was just looking up Blaze Jordan, and Heim Bloom got him in one of the trades. It was either the Contreras or the Sonny Gray ones. He could play third base. He's hitting .315 right now in AAA with a .372 on base. I'm kind of surprised he's not up at this point. I mean, he was drafted in 2022. He's 24 now. So, you look at some of the guys you traded. He was a strikeout machine and wasn't thought to be. He was looking like Bobby Dalbec 2.0. So perhaps that's still the belief, and that's why he's still down there. I'm not sure. But, yeah, you've got to make moves, and you need a competent executive in there to do that. You know, Dave Dombrowski made the big moves that you kind of expected him to make. Theo Epstein made moves that like wowed you. You trade Manny Ramirez and you end up with Jason Bay, and you just keep going. Bay gives you exactly what Manny was giving you. You know, I miss that. I miss the creativity. Actually, I will give Dombrowski credit for one guy. Nathan Eovaldi was on nobody's radar in the summer of 2018.
That's true. Yeah.
And then we got him. So that's that one. I guess I got to give him credit for that. But, you know, you needed a stud closer. He gets Kimbrel. You needed a stud bat. He tried traded for Stanton, didn't get it. Thank goodness. I think we ended up better with JD Martinez, but he got the best bat available. And, you know, so I don't know. I just hope that Breslow's out of there. Even if you have no move at all, just an interim guy in that front office is far and away better than Craig Breslow. I mean, if it's Eddie Romero, I think he would be the logical choice, unless there's another nerd in there that, you know, is a great communicator.
Do we trust the nerds right now? The nerds are getting us into trouble right now. You know, like this is tough. This is really hard. Yeah. The nerds are starting to, you know, peeve me off here. They're starting to upset me. So
well, true.
We got to figure something else out, Terry. The nerds thing is cute, but it's not working for us right now. So we need something else. It's frustrating because we have too many guys in that room that think they're the smartest guy in the room. And the problem is the mindset isn't matching the results that you guys are thinking up. So think of something different. It's not working. What's the definition of insanity? Continuing to do the same thing with the expectation of a different result, something like that. And here we are. So, go ahead.
I just think with Breslow, the bar is below sea level. So,
100%.
Yeah. Anything is better. I don't want him doing it. Nobody respects him. And the one trade he's made, he just went right back to the Pirates. He went right back to Bloom and Sherrington. So he just doesn't have a move, you know?
It's brutal. Let's shift over into our upcoming series at Tampa Bay. Three game set. We got Conley early. I see TBD. I don't know if you have somebody else listed. I do not see who they have listed for their first game, and that's going to be 6:40 p.m. But depending on who it is, I like Conley early. I want to believe that we'll be able to get him a decent amount of run support. He has pitched against Tampa Bay this year. He shoved against Tampa Bay this year. And that was about a month ago. I think it was a month ago. And he went seven innings, didn't allow a run. So struck out eight that game. I want to believe that we have a pretty good shot against them because of that. I don't think they're going to get him completely tuned, but we need to get him some runs. We need to get him some runs early. So, I'm curious to see what you have. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Ian Seymour will make the start, and it looks like he's just an opener. In his last three appearances, he went two innings, one inning, and two innings. And in his most recent outing against the Detroit Tigers, gave up three earned runs in that two inning appearance. Walked three. He's got a walk problem by the looks of it. And very brief appearances, like I said, he's walked three, two, and two and does not appear to be a big punch out guy. So he is a lefty. That's probably why they're going to go with him. But yeah, it's going to be a bullpen game. And, you know, you might like that. That might sound awesome. But historically, the Red Sox do not do well in bullpen games. I don't know why. Yep. They just...
Tampa Bay also has our number. That's another thing, too. The next game we have here. Oh, your call. Do you think Conley's going to get the win or no? I think he'll win it.
I think he's going to pitch well. I just don't know if we're going to give him the run support. I'm going to pick Tampa. I don't know why.
I'm picking Tampa in the next one. And that's Peyton Tolley, who's done okay against Nick Martinez, who's just having a fantastic year right now. He did have a blippy last game against Detroit, which is kind of a surprise. But, I mean, against us already, he absolutely posted. He almost had the quality start, but allowed only one run. I think Tampa Bay has the ability of getting 2, 3, 4 minimum runs of support. So I think it's going to be a problem for us. And I think we're going to lose game two for Peyton, which sucks. I want Butch to win, but we just can't get him run support. And that's not going to be a recipe for success.
They have a very robust lineup. Hard to argue with that. I don't know if Tolley made a start in the last series against them. But yeah, not great.
He did. He did. But it's you allow a run, maybe two. He allowed one. But if you allow a run or two, that's great. The problem is Tampa Bay have four guys in their lineup that can hit 2, 3 run home runs, and then it's game over, you know? So it's tough. Two runs isn't enough. Three runs isn't enough. Four runs is not enough. You need five, and the Red Sox don't have the capability of doing that. Tampa Bay has a way of getting 4 to 5 runs. They also had a really nice streak of keeping opposing teams to 3 runs or less. I think it was 16 straight games or 16 of 17, and the only reason why that streak was broken was because their outfielder made a mistake and the Red Sox were able to score an extra run. That is the only reason why that streak of 3 runs or less ended. We got lucky because they made a mistake. That's it. Done. The last one in this series is going to be Sonny Gray against Rasmussen. I don't know. How do you feel about Sonny?
I'm showing Texas. Texas for Sonny Gray is what the MLB site shows. We have TBD on Wednesday. Oh, that's a getaway game. That's a bummer. 1:10 Eastern start in the Trop, but that's showing TBD. I expect that's going to be Jake Bennett, based on what I've seen. I think they've reported that. And I did watch, there was a rain delay, a brief one to start today's game, and they played an interview with Chad Tracy from the dugout. I don't know if that was live or recorded earlier, but he said that Bennett has actually taken a step up. I forget which pitch he was working on, but he recently had an 11 strikeout performance, I think an 8 strikeout performance. And so I don't know, he's a little bit more developed. And typically I think Rasmussen, who he'll be facing, had a decent start against us in the last series, if I'm not mistaken. But typically, not a guy that pitches well against us. So that'll be an interesting game.
I was looking up Rasmussen. I could be completely mistaken on it. I didn't know that he faced us this year. I thought he missed it. But he's still an elite pitcher. Yeah. He's still an elite pitcher, and he gets it. Like, he knows what he needs to do. In his last game, he allowed 1 hit over 7, struck out 9. I mean, and 2 starts before that, he shut the Yankees down, struck out 6 over 7 innings, allowed 5 hits, no runs. So, he does have the ability of getting blown up, but I also do believe if there's one guy outside of Nick Martinez in that rotation that can absolutely shove, and this is after, you know, Shane McClanahan is the only guy who's still there that hasn't gotten traded. They've lost 3 or 4 of their starters. Snell, gone. McClanahan, what's the name of, oh my God, Glasnow. Glasnow was there. He's gone. Shane Baz, people can say whatever they want about him. He's now in Baltimore. So, I mean, they've almost gotten rid of their entire rotation and they filled it in with other names, and they're still doing work. They're still getting it done. So I have the Red Sox losing 2 out of 3 minimum. And you have the Red Sox getting swept, I presume.
I think the most winnable one is game 3.
You think they're going to beat Rasmussen?
I think so. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. But you know what? I've been wrong so many times this year. I think I haven't been wrong as much as Craig, but I've been wrong quite a bit. So we'll see what happens, man. We will see. Is there anything else you want to add?
I think that about does it. Big series before we come back home.
That is going to do it for your Bastards of Boston Baseball from your newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast.